All right, we're at the top of the hour, which means I can get through all these questions. I will put the I've got the tech tree up or over on the side because I was going to draw that diagram. I'll do that after the questions, like in rant time. I'll rant. This is question time. All right. So what the DOG doing? So we did a pretty long walk this morning. I don't actually know how long it. My phone will tell me, so I can go ahead and look that up. But is if they haven't moved it, which they do, of course. Periodically move buttons. I just want to read. Come on, let me read. Yeah, we did a 2-mile walk today in the morning. We went down to the local coffee shop, and then we walked through the park, and then we walked back. There we go. So that was good. So that means they're tired, they're sleeping. They've woke up a couple of times and then said hello and tried to sort of ask me to play, but I was busy with this particular problem I wish to rant about in a minute once we're up and away of questions. Moving forwards, if you were a dog, what would you be doing? Exactly what that dog is doing. I just sleep all the time. You know, they save their energy for barking at the door, chasing things, and eating food. Like, sometimes I think about, like, if the dog could speak, what would they think of this computer, right? Because I spend, like, I don't know, majority of the time I'm here, I spend sat at this computer, right? And it's like, the sentence that comes to mind would be, "The lights that you sit and look at all day appear to give you great joy and also great stress. Maybe look at them less." Like, that's what the dog would say. They would understand what's on, like, in the lights, but they would understand the, like, emotional changes that you can go through just by staring at a computer. Moving forwards, he says, "What have you been up to?" So we're still over here in this area. This is working. But there's, like, interesting stuff which I'll go on to after the rest of the questions are on. As for what I'm doing next, it's probably going to be skipping ahead over to this at some point. So SAP Success Factors. This is basically going to be like an API client for SAP Success Factors, and the hooks back into Resonate and has, I mean, it's probably going to be like a data feed or something. But, like, the whole plan is, if you've got training and you log into Corporateverse and then you're in your home world, your cloud home, there'll be like a panel and it'll be like, "Yo, there's just training that you can do." And then you can, like, click on that training and it'll load a Resonate world that's got that training in it. It'll be like, "Hey, safety, electric safety, I don't know." And then you're like, cool, you do the training and then you're like, "I'm done." And you hit, like, "I'm done" on a button, and that will like shoulder tap SAP Success Factors and be like, "Nuki just completed electrical safety 101. And then Nuki's manager can be like, "Epic job, Nuki. I don't need to chase after you and nag at you to complete electrical safety 101. You've done it." If we screw up, yeah, that could actually happen. That's like one of the many reasons they want their own cloud. But, like, just imagine, you know, it's like you open up electrical safety, like, 101. There's a bug in the corporate first client, and what that means is, like, open to anyone, you know, max user count a bajillion, electrical safety 101, and then you guys all flood in, start hounding them, hiding in their, like, electricity and their wires. They're like, I don't know, like, "Change a fuse on this plug." And, you know, they open up the plug and there's, like, a Navali inside the plug, just, like, chilling. What am I excited about? Is the last question that Nuki has in this block. The end result of this, I'm excited about. The existing work about it, I'm not. So it's been like a humongous slog. It's almost to the point where, like, I want to put, like, here third party cloud Bootstrap, because, God, I thought it would be simple, but it's like it's such a pain. For, like, mostly stupid reasons as well. But like, that's what I've been doing for the past, like, I don't know, feels like maybe a week, but it's probably like half a week. It's just trying to get that going. I'll explain more once we're out of questions. But, like, the end path is going to be good. It's just, like, getting there is you know, fun. Moving forwards, Nuki says, "How does the orange badge work?" I know, but I'm not allowed to tell you. None of the other, the mango one or the blueberry one, I can't tell you either. I wonder if that user that, like, always had the blueberry still always has the blueberry. It was, like, during launch, and there was, like, "I've got a bug to report. I've always got the blueberry." And it was just like, Yep, that's a bug that I'll probably get to deal with in like 2050, because like it's completely not unurgent. It's like you always have the blueprint. Okay, I've got no idea. I'll have to look into that. You're meant to always have it. I don't even remember the blueberry reason. I remember the mango reason. Next up, Goldie Raccoonie says, "What is the exact what is the exact search path?" The reason why I like started there was because I realized I'm gonna have to pronounce this again. What is the exact search path that Resonite searches for the Vhagd program? I'm looking right now. Vhagd. Let's look for the Klingon program here. I can't, Nuki, I can't tell you anything about how they work. If I tell you a single thing, what you then do, right, is you collate those into like a big like wool chart with like red string. It's just like, Prime said this one time that they might have something to do with the moon. And then like in this other office hours, Gordley said they had something to do with like Saturn. And then you'll have like a red piece of string that links the moon and Saturn together on a wall. And it's just like eventually you'll get it. So I have to like at least prevent that from happening. There's still like one of those that like no one knows from the Mixer days. I mean, like quite a few people do, but like most of the Mixer team didn't know about it. And I can't tell you, but the staff badge that would appear in chat on Mixer was a golden raccoon. And there is a very, very, very particular reason why the staff badge was a golden raccoon. But I can't tell you. There you go. Moving forwards, I'm looking at the code stuff. Runtime data, VHACD. That's it. Only looks in one place. Now, you could replace your VHACD with another one there. Depends what you're trying to like. Oh, no wonder why. Linux, yeah. I saw an issue was created about moving away from it. Like, if there's some sort of library that can do it, I would love to rip out this code that just calls a random exe. Because, like, there is a supply chain attack here, right? The supply chain attack is a malicious actor is aware that vhacd.exe from this folder is ran every time you try and convex hold decompose something. And they engineer through like another security layer, another weakness, replacing that exe somehow. And then they just need their target user to decompose a hull. And there you go. I mean, there's like hundreds of those that exist, right? But like, you always have to be thinking about them. All right, let's move forwards to other questions. Where are we in the question list? Okay, so we're down to Cuddle the Foxcat, who says, "How user friendly is Resonite right now for desktop users who want to self-host, create stuff ad hoc, and keep RAM usage very low?" I'd see quite good there. Some of the controls are like obtuse, and that's just because we like have so many, because we try and map, like two hands of YAR controllers into your space. And then there is a bunch of like extra stuff that we give to desktop users to sort of mitigate the loss of VR, like the third person mode and the camera, etc. So provided you're looking at the user controls for screen mode, and you're willing to try and experiment with the graphical settings that we have and whatever computer that you've got, yeah, you'll have an absolutely fine time. I know that there's one particular user, they go by the name of Epic Easton. She's fantastic. She has VR, but rarely uses it because she prefers desktop. Yeah, Easton is a national treasure. Like, the amount of like updates and like problems and like dead periods and like sorry for the lack of updates, sorry for the small updates that Easton has survived. Like the end of time, and there'll be like, what was it, like Superman, Batman at the end of time or whatever it is. And then like round the corner they'll just be like Easton. Is it like Deadpool, Wolverine? I don't know. There's like basically if the character has like an unknown lifespan, there's probably an issue of the sort of superhero comic where it talks about them at the end of time and they're the only people there. So like add one. All right, so moving forwards to the next question is from Baxton. B Baxton? Yes. Don't know if the place to ask yet is, what are the plans for the non-builder options, like making things easier for new and casual users, just simpler setting layouts and easy full body setups? Those are two of the many things I see new and casual users have a time for. So full body setups, we want to do an IK overhaul. that will also result in a full body calibrator overhaul, which should fix like 100% of the problems with full body calibration. So once that's sorted, we'll be fine on that front. Simpler settings layouts is just like an ongoing UI work. We're not going to create two separate UIs. We're not going to create one for like builders and one for non-builders. We're just going to make the overall UI better. I know that like that's a sort of like thing that you just keep hearing. We're going to make the UI better. We're going to make the UI better. We're going to, like, it's incremental and always evolving. With your guys' feedback, half the UI we haven't touched, some of the UI we have touched are not finished. Like, here's a fantastic example. Protofox node visuals are nowhere near finished. They're still like programmer art for the most part. That's why it's like rough and stuff. Like, it works and people like using it, but like, wow, it's yeah, there's more stuff we want to do there. Redjar says, oh yes, malware targeting specifically Resonite creators that run convex hold decompositions, the greatest target. I mean, like, MMC is coming up, right? You could be like, ah, if the rival team decomposes this mesh, they'll be out of commission for the entire competition. All right, I see there's an issue for the convex hull decomposition thing. And there's a link to it's from Sigra, Proximate Convex Decomposition. 3D for free meshes with collision aware concavity and tree search. Python? Is that just like a... No, it's not Python. It's C. C. Are C# bindings available? Oh, there's comparisons here as well? This is good. I know you guys can't see this. I'm just telling you. Yes, I'm on the website, and there's comparisons. They look good enough. They don't need to be exact. In fact, it does better in some cases. There's a couple of items where it does better. Like, much better in some cases. There's a... like a water bottle, that I'll just bring it into the tech tree. So this is the one we use, and then this is the one that everyone is proposing that we go to, and this is their data set. So if we go down to this, at least two at the bottom here, what you can see here is current and then like new. And so this is like, I don't know, like a pencil pot or something. Oh, just a toilet, actually. It's a toilet. That's how bad the composition is going back. That, like, it doesn't look like a toilet. Like, here, does it look like a toilet? Does it look like a toilet? Yeah, look at the filled-in space compared to here. Very good. There's a toaster, yeah. Good job on the toaster. Yeah, if we get, like, some good C# bindings, because, like, they've got everything we need there. They've got, like, comparison. It's a scientific paper. All right. Let's see if we've got any questions, because I'm just sat here. I've zoned out for, like, that's fine. Where are we going next? Draconis says, what's the wildest thing you've seen the Resonite headless be hosted on? I haven't seen it being hosted on much. I did see some weird stuff from the ARM update, of course, but I don't know. I'm still waiting for it to be hosted on a fridge. Ah, no, I've got it. Okay. It needs to be hosted on one of those fridges that can, like, detect the insides of AI, and it needs to update the Resonite world that it's hosting, like the headless that it's hosting, with the contents of the fridge. It's like the world is just the fridge, right? And it's like, there's a lemon on the top left shelf. And like in the Resonite world, there'd be a lemon in the top left shelf. Qualia, is there anything interesting on your radar for the mandatory fundy? Yeah, I've actually already done a bunch. This corporate stuff, like, it has been so complicated to debug that I had to like stop and do a bunch of like fixes to various things to just sort of make my life easier. Because I was dying, and so a couple of those have been sort of fun stuff that I wanted to look into but haven't. I can't, like, I'm just yawning all the time. I'm taking a nap after this. I think a nap is in order. Yeah, so there are a bunch of issues with the build that were causing, like, repeated problems. There still are problems with the build. Like, it actually literally just happened, and I can show you. So, like, I don't know which one failed. That's one of the problems as well. Like, you'll just see this, right? And so it looks like, hey, account.tests like says that it succeeded, but what this error means is that like a child process like exited before it was finished doing whatever it was doing, and I do not have time to figure out like what it didn't do, because I've been there before, and sometimes it like didn't do means, oh, it didn't copy like a file that we don't need to copy because it's usually up to date. But like sometimes it could be, okay, it didn't do copy your updates. So you run, you open up Res, and that takes a little bit. You get into the world and you're like, yay, I'm in the world. I'm ready to test my thing. And then you test it again and nothing's changed. And it's because child process like 8 crashed. So like you gotta like keep that going, keep that in mind. The problem that I'm having though is the MS build failure there sometimes just doesn't exist. And if it does exist, it says out of memory. And we've got like it's taken me this long to get to this point where like it's reliable enough that that doesn't happen all the time. I know how to make it happen, which is if I alt tab and do exactly what I'm doing, which is like throw around images, pan around on the tech tree, run Audacity, run this stream, etc. I'm starving my computer of resources it needs it to like crunch the build of Resonate. So that's got to change. But it's taken me this long to get to this point because we had like a lot of just output in the build that wasn't needed, particularly when you're trying to debug the build. So all you want is like a valid build. That means you don't care about warnings. Turns out the way that we had configured some of the FruxEngine projects has led to an inability to turn off warnings, even if like you do like a .NET build command and you turn them off. So like .NET build FruxEngine, no warnings, please, and it'll be like, yep, I'm still gonna give you warnings. You can't escape them. So I fixed all of that up, and then I added a like super secret mode. For building, where you have to set an environment variable, and that one is just like shut up basically, and it turns off all the common warnings that I've talked about before that FruxEngine has that we do want to resolve, but Prime doesn't need to resolve them when child node 8 exit prematurely is like swallowed in a sea of those warnings, and I can't spot that problem. So I did that, and then that led to a bunch of cleanup. Like I could actually see parts of the build that were failing because all the warnings were gone and I didn't need to look at them. I do absolutely need to look at them, but for now I'm not looking at them. There are a bunch of ones where it's like, oh, I haven't caught this warning. And the reason why I haven't caught it is because when I was writing the like hide warning code, I only chose warnings that came up like for a couple of pages. What I would do is I would look at the build output, I would scroll up and down, and I'd be like, ah, it looks like there's about a page of like warning number 12, so I'll disable warning number 12. But by the time we got down to the, like scraping the bottom of the barrel, it's like there is one instance of this warning. Like, oh, I can fix that. Or there's a warning I read and I'm just like, that's horrendous. So one of the ones I read was like, this package has got like vulnerability. And I'm like, okay, well we can fix that. Now I can see it, I can fix it. And now that that's there, what I can do is I can like slowly remove warning codes from that like secret list. You can say whatever you want, Madman. Madman is saying it's a point of personal pride that none of my projects emit any warnings. Yeah, the here's how you deal with warnings in a software project, right? You either answer the warning, right? Yeah, it's a warning, so you resolve the warning message, or you turn that warning code off. You can also like exclude that warning code for a particular line of code, but if you do that, it has to have a justification. And if you turn that entire warning code off, you have to have a justification, and that has to be documented in your version control, or like ideally in version control and in documentation, because like I hate code bases where like they make decisions and you have like no idea why. So like I look back on one of the random FruxEngine like repositories, and at some point someone turned this random warning off. When they turned that random warning off, this must have been like years ago, so it doesn't matter who, but the way that they turned the warning off meant that they turned all other warnings back on and that warning off in one of the projects by the way they'd like configured it in the CS project, and that was what was causing the issue. So it's just like, okay, cool. Glad to know that warning meant so much to you that one time years ago that you turned all other warnings on and that particular one warning off for completely unneeded detail and like that whole problem, because I feel like giving it to you guys and maybe you'll learn something. Yeah, here we are. So there's a CS project like declaration called no one. And you can put items into it that are semicolon delimited. So this one turns off 0649 and 1591. However, if you want to preserve other people's opinions, as in like other parts of the build system, like parent build files or child build files. You know, if you want to pair, like if you're in a hierarchy going, what you should actually do is say, I want to additively add these additional no-ones to the existing no-one configuration by starting with that. And then additionally, this was another one that was like, hey, I turned off warnings, and then like it would turn them back on again. And this was the fix I had for that, which is if I have not explicitly set a warning level, feel free to set it to 4. But if I have explicitly set a warning level, don't set it to 4. Because I know better than you. I'm the CLI. Yeah, 1591 is one I actually probably will turn off again still for the majority of it. I do agree with the mentality of 1591, but you turn 1591 back on once you've enforced it, like, externally. Like, you run, like, an external report, like, how close are we trending to being able to turn on 1591? Otherwise, it's just a mess. Foo, internal... public static class foo helper utility manager fizzbuzz enterprise doesn't have like an XML comment. What is that? Who wrote it? Is it needed? Moving forward to Colin the Cat's question, where do you see Resonate in 2 years? I'm just gonna have to skip that one for this particular office hours. I've been like knee deep in like the soup of code for a long, long time this week, and my brain is like cabbage. Let me explain. Okay. So, I'm not quite sure the best way to do this. So, we've got the Corpo Cloud, and we've got the Resonate Cloud. So, the Resonate Cloud is the one that you're talking to. And then each of these has got 4 applications and stuff. Why give me the box? Like, I'm going to draw a diagram. Instantly regrets drawing the diagram. There's API. There is account. Stats. And worker. Now, API is anything api.resonite.com. Worker is anything in the background that needs to do, like, an automated job. So Patreon is in worker. Some of Stripe is, but not as much. Anything to do with, like, deleting accounts. Usage reports of your storage, etc. That's all like what we call like a long job. And that means it can't be done in the time that it takes to do one API request. So instead what we do is like, say you ask for something, the API will enqueue into like a queue, a job, and then the worker will pick it up. Asset conversions actually happen on another one that isn't in the cloud. It is, but it isn't. Anyway, so then there are 2 copies of these, right? And then down here, we've got Resonate and we've got Corpoverse as a client. So these 2 code bases started to diverge around the time that we were looking at net 10. And so I couldn't keep them in sync and I still can't. So now they're like completely diverged. I'm going to have to like reconcile them a little bit later, but oh, these are the wrong way around. I need to do that. There we go. So that means that like, I am always on the branch for this piece of code. And if there is a problem with API, I have to, first of all, clone API now, make changes to API so that it gets changed, push those API changes up to GitHub, trigger a release on GitHub, the release then gets picked up by an Azure developer, Azure DevOps pipeline, and it puts that code into Corpo Cloud on there for me. It's very complicated. And every time I do that, I have to like triple check it and everything because it's kind of stressful. But there we go. Now, what I was trying to do is get Corpo Cloud bootstrapped, which means like it has enough on it so that like it actually works. You can see Devlog where it didn't have shaders and then it didn't have stuff like that. And we're still at the point where it looks like this. And the reason it looks like this is because like some of the shaders still aren't loading, and a couple of textures didn't make it across. And the reason is because I needed to write another part of the bootstrap. And now this part of the bootstrap is where we take the Resonate, and we split it off, and we have Resonate's Skyfrost.base, and we take Corpo versus Skyfrost.base, and I say, hey, migrate g.resonate into Corpoverse as g.corpoverse. And so right now, on the new infrastructure, there is a migration that is running on Corpoverse that is pulling Resonites like icons and like the default avatar and the cloud home and stuff like that across into Corpoverse. And it's taken me like half a week or so to get that to work. And the reason behind that is because I've had to like make changes to all of this to support that. There were problems in Skyfrost.base. There were problems in the Resonite cloud. There were problems in Resonite. There were problems in Corpoverse. There was problems in the Corpo cloud. And I've just been like up and down it ridiculously. And oh, it's just, I just got success though. And it was like, hey, we've triggered the migration. And I'm like, cool. I didn't check the result of the migration, but like, I think it succeeded. So that's good. But there we go. Moving forward, so I'm going to answer these last few questions and then we'll leave off. Nuki says, thoughts on fighting killer mining robots on asteroids? I really like, there's, what's it called? I don't remember what it's called. I don't know, just like ask an AI or something, it'll figure it out. I'll just describe it. There's a technology in a particular anime where they figure out that they can like shoot nanobots at asteroids, and the nanobots will stick, and then they'll swarm over the asteroid, and they'll turn the asteroid itself into a spaceship, and then they'll like, whilst they're steering the asteroid around, they'll like mine it and then like take it mined to the planet, right? So instead of the like, you know, space mining would be like, hey, let's like, you know, grab an asteroid and bring it inside the ship's hull or something into the cargo bay, or let's blow up asteroids and like get a big net and scoop them in, like this is like, no, you fire essentially goo, you fire slime at the asteroid, and the slime just does everything, and then what you get is like a solid cube of the ore delivered to your planet. Radio says, I recently discovered the funding statistic component, which shows how much money you guys are making with Patreon and Stripe. I think this is an outstanding level of transparency and should be used more. That said, are there plans to make an official facet utilizing this component? Yep, I don't know if we're doing a facet. Some of that like stuff drives the stuff in the cloud home that like this sponsors and stuff. Some of that like there's some of that's utilized there. I don't know particularly know which or what. In addition to that, J4 on J4's like stats website, they figured out how to take the funding statistic components backing API and like make some cool graphs there. I've been meaning to ask them if they can like add that to our Grafana. Now I can just, you know, give them admin access to everything as they're on the team. So that might be good. But you should be able to go to J4's stats website to see it until then. I don't know if we've kept up with them because I haven't been able to keep up with the recap streams. But like, have we been doing our quarterly updates? Because I haven't seen like the wiki pages changing. So I don't know if we're doing them, but maybe we are doing them. I don't know. If we're not, I'll see if we can at least do like a year end one and then like get it updated. I mean, I've got all the stuff I need. Is there a hard coded path Resonite searches for mineways? I can find that. Yes. C program files mineways.exe. So now if you're a, you know, if you're a hacker, you're like, ah, so now all I need to do is supply chain attack mineways, and then I can prevent the team from entering the MMC. Oh, hold on. There is a second place that we look for it. There is a second location. Alert! Alert! There is a second location. So if we can't find it, if we can't find it in that first one, we try that second one. Like, I'm technical enough to, like, read, the update that we just got for Resonite and understand most of it, but even I just struggled. I went up there because I thought I'd have like some talking points reading it, and I just read the update note and I was just like, yeah, there's some stuff. we got some stuff fixed. Glad to see Compressinator was fixed without my help this time. I'm really happy about that, actually. Like, lots of people like question it, but like, your job as an engineer is to make yourself redundant, and like, you build that by good software, right? Good software, good documentation. And the reason why like that mentality is good is because like, no one wants to be on the beach on their vacation and get a call and be like, Prime, you're the only person that can help us understand this code because you didn't write a readme.md. Qualia says, could some of these hard-coded paths be made into configurable parameters? Of course they could, but I'd need a GitHub issue for that. I'm going to go ahead and leave off here. I got to go check if this like stuff I was doing that like lagged with the child process 8 is actually fixed, because if it is, I'm done for pretty much this side of Christmas, so I'm good. And I will speak to you soon. I don't know if we need a tech tree update. I'll double check if we do. Speak to you soon.